I would like to invite you to come with me to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he met with his disciples on the last night before Calvary. Luke simply states this, that when the hour was come, the Lord sat down with his disciples. And so I'd like to read a few verses. John chapter 13. Now I'm just going to pick a few verses here and there to give us a starting point. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Turn over to John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Turn down to verse 31 of chapter 14. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And these are the words that I would like to fix in your mind. Arise and let us go hence. And one more verse in John chapter 18, verse 1. John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, there where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Now, we believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. The last couple of months, I have read John chapter 13 to 17 over and over and over again. And each time I've read it, I've been amazed at the things that are written, that are recorded for us. And so what I would really like is to bring with you through that last evening from the upper room to Gethsemane. As the hour of the Lord Jesus' sacrifice drew near, he gathered with his disciples. Now, this was not to eat the Passover meal. That was one thing that I discovered. This is not the Passover meal. The Lord Jesus was the Passover lamb. He was not slain until the next evening. So this is not the Passover meal. This was the night before the Passover. And I found that rather interesting. The evening before this, Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. And Mary Magdalene has come with an alabaster box of ointment. And she's anointed the head and the feet of the Lord. Mark's gospel emphasizes that she's anointed his head. John's gospel emphasizes that he said she's anointed his feet. She did both. And the Lord said, it was done in preparation for my burial. And now the interesting thing is that before the sacrifice of the Calvary, the Lord has risen up And what is he doing? He's washing the feet of the disciples. The Lord then began his final exhortation to the disciples. And by this act of washing their feet, he's emphasizing for them, he's teaching this lesson, that a clean heart, a loving attitude, and a care for one another was to mark the children of the Father's house. I believe that the focus of all of his ministry in the upper room and then on the way to Gethsemane, the focus of that ministry is the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he's taking them there. And really, the thought that is expressed in the washing of the feet is the same thought that Paul exhorted the Ephesians to follow. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, could say, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And I always like the first verse of the next chapter. "And be ye followers of God as dear children." I think that the last verse of chapter 4 must go with the first verse of chapter 5. "Be ye followers of God." And as they were sitting at the table, and before partaking of the Last Supper, Jesus was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And I think of how sad, sorrowful the Lord would have been to have to say that. And a few moments later, in answer to John's question, "Who is it?" the Lord says, "It is the one to whom I will give a sop when I have sopped it." And when he did it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And following his identification, Judas leaves the company to complete his betrayal. And I think of how sad that was, because Judas had been warned. He had been warned of his danger. The Lord had actually washed his feet. He had eaten a meal with the Lord. He had accompanied the Lord for 3 years. But sadly, he went in the way of Cain. Cain was given the opportunity to repent, and he turned his back upon the word of God. Judas had opportunity to repent, but he turned his back upon the word of God, the Savior. And I thought really that earlier, a number of months before this, that the disciples had come to the Lord Jesus and had said, "Teach us to pray." And one of the lines in that prayer is to deliver us from evil. And Judas would have heard that. And I wonder how many times had Judas prayed that prayer, "Deliver me from evil." And he turned his back upon the word of God. And after Judas left, the Lord instituted the remembrance meal. I'm not going to speak a lot about the remembrance meal, except that bread and wine throughout scriptures is a symbol of sacrifice and victory. It is victory through sacrifice. over and over again. Beginning Genesis chapter 14, when Melchizedek brought bread and wine out for Abraham. Victory through sacrifice and came all the way. Following the institution of the remembrance meal, Jesus commenced to prepare his disciples for his departure to the Father's house. He warned that all of them would be offended because of him that night. Offended. And you know, that's the same today. There are some times when we can be offended because we listened to some ministry and it touches our hearts. And we're offended with the person who's been speaking. We're really offended at him. But the Lord warned them that during that trial, they were to remember to actively maintain their love for one another. It's as they focused on their love for one another that they would be preserved. No, they were not to focus on the failings of one another, but to focus on their love for one another. And the Lord emphasized that. Love, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. The Lord Jesus has been emphasizing that they should focus their attention on the Father's house and the promises given. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And I've mentioned it many times in the past, and I'll mention it again, that the Lord Jesus has picked up words from the book of Deuteronomy that God said when the children of Israel were facing the enemy, that the high priest was to come out and he was to say those words, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. The high priest was saying that. As you face the enemy, believe in God. And that's your victory, your battle cry, believing in God. And I think of that the Father's house was a place of many mansions or many rooms. But I thought really what the idea is, not so much the rooms as this, of much glory. It is glory upon glory, so that when we enter into the Father's house, We are going to receive glory upon glory as we are there in those days. And I thought of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That's what's going to happen in the Father's house. Glory unto glory. But then the Lord Jesus said to them that because their confidence was in him, he was giving them two special promises. The first promise he was giving them was that the Father would send the Holy Spirit as a comforter. And I look at that, and I look at the way that the King James has listed it, the Holy Spirit, and he's called the Comforter. If we were to go into the Greek word, we would find that often it's written down as the Helper. The Father will send the Helper. Really, the better word is the help meet. I thought that was rather interesting, because in Genesis, when God created Eve, she was to be a helpmeet for Adam, one to go alongside to be a comfort, a support, an advocate, a counselor, a guide. All of those words are entitled in the Greek word for this idea of a help meet. And so the Holy Spirit would come. But then the second promise, the Father will abide with you. And Jesus answered and said unto, and now Judas, not Iscariot, and says, how thou may manifest thyself unto us. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And you think of that great promise. But I think as well, in John chapter 14, when we have Philip and he says, Lord, show us the Father. And then I think of I thought of the Hebrew epistle, and it begins. It begins with a declaration that the Son was the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. And so, to the disciples, the Lord in John 14 seeks to explain the fullness of that statement. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. We are one, is what the Lord Jesus was saying. There's no difference between us. You'll see me, you see the Father. And Paul the Apostle, when he's writing to the Colossians, he's seeking to bring forth that same thought. And he says, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Father and the Son are united together. But then we read that last verse in John chapter 14, and it speaks, and it would indicate that following all of these words of encouragement, that the Lord left the upper room with his disciples and walked to Gethsemane. And as they walked through the city, it would seem to me that the Lord would pause at intervals and would continue his exhortation. And the Lord spoke of a threefold challenge that would face every one of the disciples. But that same challenge faces you and I, day after day. It took all of chapter 15 to express that threefold challenge. I think that they would come along and the Lord would pause. And then he would deliver that first challenge. The challenge of bringing glory to the Father. And he would say to them, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." To bring glory to the Father, it is important that we abide in the Son. It is important that we grasp hold of that. And you think of that verse, John 15, verse 5, and there's two words that are used in here. "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And that is an interesting word that has been translated, "ye." Because you also will notice that in other verses, the translators have used the word "you." What is the difference? Well, the difference is simply this. When "you" is used, it's plural. It means more than one person. But when "ye" is used, it means each one of you. And so we might read that verse, "I am the vine, each one of you are a branch. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye, each one of you, can do nothing." And that is the same throughout our New Testament. That word "ye" means each one of you. And so he paused and he spoke about bringing glory to the Father. Then they walked along a little further and he paused. And he said they would face the challenge of loving one another. The world's hatred will try each one of you, but you must love one another if you are to stand for God. They must love one another even though they come from different cultures. They've got to love one another. In John chapter 13, he uses the same expression, love one another. But in John chapter 13, the emphasis is upon the fact when there's betrayal and departure. And if you don't love one another, you will be overcome. Now he is saying, when persecution comes, if you don't love one another, you will not stand as a group. Then I think that they walked on a little further. And then he paused again. And he warned them that they would experience the hatred of the world. And he says, the world will hate you because your life condemns them. Your life should leave them with no cloak for their sins. That's 15 and 22. He goes on to say, but you're not alone. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will comfort you because I'm going to the Father's house. He will comfort you when persecutions come. He will guide you in your spiritual walk. And you shall glorify me. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me and shall show it to you. And the Lord perhaps went on a little further, and then he paused and he said, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then it seems to me that as they have passed the temple, they've come to the brook Kidron. Before crossing over the brook Kidron, the Lord Jesus stops. And he prays unto the Father, the prayer of John chapter 17. Then spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As I read through that, it seems to me that Jesus' prayer at that time is centered upon the children of the Father's house. And the Father and the Son prayed, Father, I have given them thy word. And he repeats that twice. Then he says, I have kept them in thy name, which is verse 12. And Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And then he closes that prayer with, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then we read those, and when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And when they arrived at Gethsemane, the Lord appointed 8 disciples a place from which to watch and pray. This was near the gate. Then he took Peter and James and John and walked a little further into the garden and appointed them a place to watch and pray. And you'll notice that regardless of where they sat, where they were to watch and pray. That would really would touch my heart as well. Regardless of where I am, I can watch and pray. And the Lord went a little further, a stone's throw into the garden. And there he prayed. And I think of this, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, no one could share Christ's sufferings. No one could stand with Christ in prayer. He was alone. And no one could take his place. And no one could display the perfect submission to the Father that Christ could. And so, I trust that as you have listened to this and had a little glimpse into the Lord's last night before Calvary, that it would touch your heart with love towards that one who in love went to Calvary to redeem us. Shall we pray?